And our job seeker topic for today, getting past the secretary and those pesky voice messages. So does it irritate you like it irritates me that employers screen your calls and intentionally block your request to talk with the hiring manager? Or maybe just keep getting those voice messages to leave your callback number and a short message. Well, today's program could help you get that next call through to that decision maker and turbocharge your job search. To help me discuss this topic, I am joined by a special guest co-host, Linda Baugh. She is out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Linda is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website, and you can see Linda's picture and bio. Just click Preferred Counselors on our toolbar. And hello there, Linda in Arizona.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining us for another show. You and I agreed that this particular topic has got to be one of the all-time most important ones to succeed in job hunting, right?
Right. It can be the weakest link in a otherwise well-crafted chain in job search. You're right.
Absolutely. Now, Linda's been helping men and women advance in their careers since 1985. She is president and founder of ACE Executive Careers. It's based in Scottsdale, Arizona. Linda began her profession, as I did, as a headhunter. And there she learned how to help people get hired. And from there, she expanded her expertise to include helping clients at mid-career find their occupational sweet spot. Linda has published numerous articles and is a sought-after speaker and a regular guest on our broadcast. Now, for the first 30 minutes of our show, Linda and I will talk about our topic, getting past the secretary and voice messages, and then we'll take a short break and begin to answer job hunting questions, which we receive during the beginning of the show. Okay, Linda, let's launch into our topic, getting around these intentional devices that are to keep the job hunter away from the hiring person. And you and I agree that the worst person to try to contact, at least in terms of getting results, is the human resource office. So our whole focus for the broadcast is to equip the job hunter to get calls directly to the hiring person. And we have to realize that the majority of companies, 80% of employers, have 20 or less employees. So if you have a company that's larger, say 100 or more employees, or even 50, they will have trained and schooled several layers of individuals to keep you away from bothering the hiring manager. But if it's a smaller organization, you should be able to get through with much more ease. They're still involved in trying to get their product or service to market, and if they post a vacancy, they certainly are very focused on getting hired. So as we're laying out the groundwork for this show, we have to make two distinctions. There are two types of calls. First is to call to inquire about a posted vacancy. And the second type of call is to set up an appointment to explore the hidden jobs, the jobs that are not posted. The content of these calls are different, and yet both have traditional features and blocks that keep you from talking to who you want to discuss. So let's jump in and talk about making calls to respond to posted vacancies. You see position, you're interested in it, and what Linda and I are saying is if you want the competitive edge, if you want to be in the first chair, you should try to get face-to-face with that hiring person and ask some questions. So, Linda, let's give our listeners some tips on how to get that call through so that we can get that hiring manager and get an appointment. Take it from there.
Well, John, thank you very much. And as we alluded to at the beginning of our conversation, you can have everything else wonderfully lined up in terms of being a good fit for the job, but if you can't get to the decision maker and have the opportunity for that person to actually meet you and have a conversation with you, the chances of getting hired are slim. So we're looking at a strategy, preparing for the call, and what we're just anticipating, you know, we may get the screener. We may get the admin, the executive assistant, the secretary. And then on the other hand, they may put us into voicemail for the decision maker, or in some companies, John, isn't it right? It goes right to voicemail. There is no intermediary person.
Or they send you to the graveyard, which is the human resource office, which is
exactly
the place that everyone is told, send all inquiries to human resources. And human resources does not do the hiring. The hiring is done by the manager or executive.
Right.
And that person is the one who has the authority to bypass some of the regulations. I just had a client today, and the client is very interested in a position at a college university. She fits all the qualifications except one thing. She doesn't have a master's degree, and that's the first thing on the list. The only person that can waive or excuse the master's degree is who would be her immediate boss, not human resources. And
right.
So in order for her to bypass this major requirement, she has to have the favor of that decision maker.
Exactly. So our strategy, and I think what you asked me, and I didn't get a specific, we need some specific tactics and techniques designed to get us past that person and to the decision maker. And here's just some very basic tips. When you call, have authority in your voice. This is a business call. Sound as if you belong there. If you've been referred by someone, mention that, you know, Joe Smith suggested that I call Mr. Jones. And one of the key things I know, and people will probably scratch their heads, but if that administrative person says, well, you know, he's busy right now, would you like to leave your name and phone number and he can call you back? You know, our answer will be, thank you so much, but I'm sure he's busy. I'm in and out. I'd rather not put him in the position of playing phone tag. What would be, in your advice, the best time to call him back? And I'll take that responsibility. And the reason we do that is if we leave our phone number and we're not familiar to that individual, the chances of them calling us back are slim to none. So we're going to take the responsibility of calling back, and we may call back several times. And John, you're welcome to jump in here, but we also want to make a friend or make nice with that person that we're talking
yeah.
to. That's the support person, right?
Yes, and I even coach our clients to say, if they say, well, so-and-so's not available right now, would you like to message and say, well, maybe you could help me. I'm now going to woo that secretary, and I'm going to tell her my story. And what I say, Linda, to our clients is, I noticed that your company has this particular vacancy, and so-and-so is the direct supervisor or manager for the position, and I really need to make sure that this position fits my career goals. I seem to meet all the qualifications. I've got 8 years of management experience, 10 years of being a financial accountant, or you know, whatever it is, and yet I have some key questions, and you might even start with the question, and it's got to be authentic, and it has to be the type of question that only that decision maker would know. Human resources would not know that. And what you're appealing to is the secretary, who knows how important that position is, to say, well, you know, he's got a break in his schedule tomorrow afternoon. Maybe I can squeeze you in. That's what you're hoping for. So I just wanted to add that little caveat into it. You're on a roll, Linda, so let me jump back out of this, and you keep going.
Well, it's just that so many people that I've talked to in job search, you know, I'll hear them say, well, I left a message, and it's not going to work. Because, again, that person, the decision maker, even if there's a flicker of interest, you go way down to the bottom of the list because they've got other things to do. So I think you and I are looking at two tactics. One is to get the admin person sort of on your side and advocating and helping you. And the other is not to leave your phone number for, but to ask the advice, well, you know his schedule. What would be a good time to call him? Should I try between 4 and 5 or before 9 in the morning? And so now the admin person, you're treating them with a lot of respect, and they're going to be helpful to you.
Yeah, excellent, yes. Absolutely, yes. Now, I think you made a major point of not leaving the phone number. You know, what I've heard a good number of times is when the person calls back because they haven't heard, you know, it's been 2 or 3 days.
Mm.
Well, I remember your call, and didn't you leave your callback number? He'll call you if he wants to.
Wants to.
So there you are. You're dead. You walked into a closed a room with no exit door. It's over.
Right. That's
so
right.
By not leaving the callback number, you are pursuing that. And, you know, Linda, another thought just came to mind. When you call back the second time and the person is still not available, again, you try to tell your story and you ask, you know, it's really important that I understand the position so I can save everybody a lot of time. How would you advise me? Maybe there's an assistant or an associate, assistant manager that I can talk to. We'll pick this up after the break, Linda.
Good.
Okay, John, we have a short 2-minute break. Today we've been talking about job search tips, but you do a lot more for men and women who are struggling with mid-career issues.
That's right, Evan. We do. We help men and women find that career sweet spot which can give their life meaning and purpose.
Do you really think that anyone, regardless of education, present job, or a re-entry homemaker with no current marketplace skills, can really believe that there is something special out there?
Yes, Evan, I believe they can find a fulfilling career and get hired to do it.
You know, John, as I've talked with you about career advancement, I've been thinking about all those thousands of mid-career adults who go back to school to earn a college degree or even an advanced graduate degree, and yet...
Well, yeah, Evan, and yet they don't get hired in their field after they finish the degree, right?
Right. Yeah, it seems so sad.
Well, there is a brighter picture that advanced education can really pay off if only the student took the time to find his or her sweet spot and then choose a degree which complements the career choice.
Boy, that really makes sense. Can we talk more about this during the next break?
Certainly.
If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's return to our broadcast and pick up where we left off.
And we're back to our job seeker broadcast topic, getting past the secretary and those pesky voice messages. And my special guest today is Counselor Linda Baugh from Scottsdale, Arizona. Linda is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. And if you just tuned in, you can see Linda's picture and bio on our website. So, Linda, we were getting down to very practical steps on how to get past that secretary, how to get past voice messages. Did you have some more key principles before we talk about the making the call for the hidden job search?
I would like to give a few suggestions specifically on the voicemail, John, because sometimes the admin, they don't even want to talk to somebody. I'll give you his voicemail. And, you know, boom, suddenly you're at voicemail. And there are some techniques that will work well. I honestly believe if we talk about the fact that it has something to do with a job, they're not going to call us back. Again,
right.
we take the position, you know, this is a business call. So if I get the voicemail of the hiring manager that I've identified through LinkedIn or through networking, I could say, Bob, this is Linda Baugh calling. I would like to speak with you sometime today. I will call back between 4 and 5. And then I'll call back, and I'll call back between 4 and 5. If I get voicemail again, I'm going to be sure to say, Bob, this is Linda Baugh. It's 4:15. I'm calling as I said I would. I'm in and out today and tomorrow. I would like to speak with you. I'll give you another call. And one of the reasons that we mentioned the time is I'm a stranger to this person, but I'm establishing I'm a person of my word. I said I'd call back between 4 and 5. I did.
Yeah.
And if we keep getting voicemail, there's a time when we're going to have to punt, if you will. So if we do reach the point where I better leave my number, this is the technique. Bob, Linda Baugh, I do want to speak with you before the end of the week. You may reach me tomorrow between 9 and noon at this number, and you give the number. I look forward to talking with you. And the beauty of this technique is between 9 and noon tomorrow, there's no TV, there's no radio, there's no kids, there's no dog. You're ready to receive call.
Yes. Now, you mentioned something that just went by as a one-word little snippet, and that was LinkedIn. I think mm-hmm. you and I agree, Linda, that we will dramatically move ahead our success if when we call Bob, we have a warm referral, a person in common.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Smith gave me your name and said you would
right.
be of help to me.
And
he knows
and that
Ralph
would
Smith.
Be, yeah, go ahead.
And,
I
and
didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, the LinkedIn is a tremendous resource in finding out who you know that also knows somebody in the company. So let's just, Nike is in our backyard right here in
mm-hmm.
Portland, Oregon. It's a Fortune 500 company. You're trying to get through to Nike. Good luck. And so you do your search
exactly.
on LinkedIn.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no way. Everybody wants to work at Nike, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you do your LinkedIn search, and you find out that Susie Smith that you went to high school with used to work or does work at Nike, and you didn't know that. So you
uh-huh.
call Susie Smith, and you say, Susie, it's John Bradley, and I wondered if I could meet with you. I am trying to get some connections with XYZ department, and I was hoping you could help me. Can we get together? Now, Linda, I don't know how you feel about this, but if you're asking someone a favor, I prefer to meet with them face-to-face. You're going to get a lot more mileage. Unless you know this person intimately, then a phone call is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a distant person you haven't seen in 5 or 10 years,
mm-hmm.
a face-to-face is worth it. I mean, that is what it takes to get to the front of the line.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the competition. The job hunter is competing with a handful of individuals who already are either working for the company or already know someone. They get the inside track, and that's what you're up against. So if you're not doing something comparable, you're wasting your time. Right, Linda?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And meeting with someone, they really do buy in and get on board with helping you. And, of course, you know, we're buying the coffee or the iced tea when we meet with them.
Sure. Yeah, I totally
agree with that.
And there may be other things that will come up. Oh, well, gee, I didn't know you were looking. It so happens I know about this department. They haven't posted it yet. You know, that's going to happen.
That's right.
Tremendous benefits. Okay, well, Linda, let's quickly jump to the next type of phone call, and this is for the hidden job search. Now, this means that you want to explore an opportunity at Nike, but this is not a posted vacancy. This is where 80% of positions exist. They haven't yet gotten to the point of being posted, and they're going to be filled before they ever get posted. So you're still trying to get a call through to that hiring, that decision maker, that hiring manager, that executive that oversees the department you want to work for. You need an inside warm lead. Cold calling does not work for this. And you're calling a friend who is going to give you the name of that inside person, and you're going to use your friend's name to get that appointment. And that is how you're going to get your call through. And that is the message you leave on the voice prompt. Susie Smith gave me your name, said you could be of help to me. Would appreciate chatting with you. I will call back at 3 o'clock or something like that.
Exactly.
Linda, what do you say to clients that tend to cringe with how you – I like the word you use. This is a business call, and they almost cringe at being too persistent or bothering the employer, being an irritant at calling so many times. How do you help the client understand how important this is?
Well, one of the first things that it's how they're thinking about the whole situation. But the truth of the matter is, most hiring managers and most executives always like to have a short list of potential employees, even when they're not looking for someone.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, it's like, you know, in baseball or football, you know, you've got your bench, you know, whether you need them or not. So they always want to know about good people, and it's not selfish on behalf of the job seekers, on the job seeker's part. Really, if they put it in the right terms, I'm doing my research. I'm talking with people in the industry. My friend Judy Carnes recommended that you would be, you know, one of the top people to have a brief conversation with about the industry. And people love to talk about themselves and their company. They really do.
And they certainly like to talk about some of the critical issues that are challenging their industry in terms of foreign competition or federal regulation, the whole Obamacare fiasco that may be providing window of opportunity or causing the whole industry to reshuffle because they're no longer able to do things the way they used to. Managers like to talk about it, especially if you've done some homework and have some interesting insights. But Linda, let's roll ahead to the resume, and let's talk about how our job hunter, who's trying to get through to the decision maker, how are they to present the bring up the topic of resume or even respond to a request? How do you coach your clients in this process of trying to get an appointment to begin a discussion? What should they be doing with the resume?
Well, what I'm going to share is something I had a conversation about this morning, and that is that if one wants to lead with a letter to the person that you want to meet with, let's just say that the letter precedes a phone call, and the letter is speaking about, I'll give you a call, that the resume is not included in the letter. Instead, a person puts a number of bullet points in the letter of the things in their background that exactly match, whether it's the job description or what that company does. In other words, it piques the person's interest, because so often if they get the resume first, they're like, well, I have your resume, I don't need to talk to you.
Yes, right.
And then we're stuck. But what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, and Linda, I need to precede my comment with, you and I have done quite a few of these broadcasts, and I am amazed. You and I have our own practices, and yet we have spent many, many years coaching people, and it's so startling to me that it's almost word for word. The things you say to your clients are almost exactly the things I say to my clients, and we've never compared notes before.
No, we haven't.
It's kind of a testimony to, if you've been doing this long enough, you begin to learn, you know, what works and what doesn't work, you know.
And John, just to add a comment, that's what you and I believe. We only want the best results for our clients, and that's why we drill down to all these little techniques.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, back to the resume. If a person is making a call to search for the hidden job, this is an opportunity that's in the process but has not yet been posted and will probably be filled before it ever gets posted, I coach our clients, do not take a resume, because there is no position. The time to bring a resume is when the purpose for the meeting is a formal interview, and you have done your homework to tailor the resume to the position. I also like to say that if you're having a meeting with an employer of an exploratory, or you're asking some questions and you don't bring the resume, that gives you an excuse when a resume is asked for a follow-up contact.
That's right. That's exactly right. Exactly,
we'll pick
right.
this up after the break, Linda.
Okay.
We're taking a short 2-minute break to ask John Bradley some questions about pursuing an advanced degree as a strategic step to a better job. John, in our last break, you suggested that more education can be a curse as well as a blessing.
That's right, Evan. If a person chooses more education to acquire skills they don't have...
You mean innate skills they don't have.
Right. Someone who thinks they can gain hardwiring skills through education, well, I'm sad to say that for this person, there will be limited career success.
Hmm. So give us the positive side of the coin.
Well, the good side is that by choosing wisely, that is, the right career, an advanced degree can work wonders and even help the person get hired with the employer of their choice.
Well, that sounds encouraging. And I know you have more on this subject, like how does one know if a new career is really right for them and worth all that additional education?
That's right, Evan. We can discuss that on our next break, how to know for sure, for sure.
Thanks, John. If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's go back to our broadcast.
And we're back to our broadcast. I'm talking with Linda Baugh, counselor from Scottsdale, Arizona. And Linda's one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. And if you just tuned in, you can see Linda's picture and bio on our website. And our topic that we're just finishing up today is getting past the secretary so that you can talk directly with that hiring manager to get a competitive edge. Linda, we finished up on the resume, and I think we just have time for a couple more things that might be a silver bullet or two that we haven't had a chance to mention. Have you got a couple yet to go you want to share?
Well, sure. You know, we focus a lot on getting past the screener, and then we really do need to be ready when we get to the decision maker, the person that we are targeting, and to remember that our goal really is to get a meeting with that person.
Right.
To get a face-to-face meeting. And I'm just going to throw out some of the objections that they might, that a job seeker might get, and just to be ready for them. Why don't you just send me a resume? And I'll just share an answer that we've used. You know, I'd be happy to provide you with a copy of my resume during our meeting. And if you want to give me some feedback on it, that would be appreciated. It was really 20 minutes of your feedback that's important to me. So we just have to anticipate the different objections, like, well, you have to speak with so-and-so in human resources, or we're not hiring now, we have no opening. And let's take that one, we're not hiring now, we have no opening. You know, I understand that. In fact, I didn't anticipate that you would. My friend Judy Carnes suggested that it would be valuable for me to speak with you about your knowledge of the industry. So, John, I don't know if you've got anything to add, but I like to have people being aware that they might get some objections and to be ready to overcome those.
Absolutely. And the thing that we have to acknowledge is this whole process of calling and trying to get through is almost as threatening as that time you were afraid of being called on to give a speech in front of your
mm-hmm.
classmates. I mean, that has to be the all-time white-knuckle,
mm-hmm.
beads of sweat. You know, you never forget that, and everybody laughed at you, or you thought they were going to laugh at you. Well, here's the thing. This is a lifetime skill that will come back maybe every 5 years. And it's about time to master this. Once you get over the hurdle and you believe and have some sense of success, then you won't be as petrified about doing it the next time. I'm not saying you liked it, but we're saying you can succeed at it. But it has to be intentional. And Linda, I would say that being able to get past all the screening devices, past the secretary, past voice messages, is even more important in the success of a job search than coming up with $1 million resume or coming up with a zinger on how to answer interview questions and on and on and on. This is the key that unlocks the door, gets you in the room.
Let's put it into a simple perspective, John. If an individual, and we'll think back maybe to, you know, high school, college days, if an individual were interested in a person of the opposite sex, you need to get a date with them. And it's the same thing. You know, until you get a date and you can actually get with the person and talk to them, it's not going to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're just a picture in your mind. They don't even know your name. There's nothing in common there. And as you and I have said over and over, and I've said this on many other broadcasts, it's all about relationship. It's not about resume. It's all about relationship. And this is certainly that very first contact. And remember that person that you're talking, a real life person working at Nike who's screening calls, that person's a human being. And they are so used to people being angry and abrupt. And when you say, well, maybe you could help me, I'm trying, and you woo them over to your side so they start giving you advice. And they can make all the difference in the world. I even have a client, a current client, and the idea of calling was I noticed it was really kind of a blockage for her. She seemed to be stumbling on it, but her eyes and her body demeanor seemed to perk up when she would just drop in. And I said, well, go ahead and make the call. And then you know who you're talking to, and then just drop in and see them. Well, I talked to you on the phone the other day, and I thought maybe you could help me, and off we go. Because she somehow responded to seeing people in person rather than the phone call.
Wow.
Well, you know, and people may wonder, well, should I be spending all this time? Yes, that's what it takes.
That's exactly right.
Good. Absolutely. Yep. Okay, well, Linda, I think we've really hit on some very key things. I think if our listeners can do just even half of the good advice you gave us, they're going to make a huge difference. Let's turn the corner and talk about some of these job seeker questions that
We have some good ones.
So fire away. Pick some of them and
here's a really, really good one. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. This is Will in Tennessee who says, I've been a golf club manager and part owner for over 25 years. I want to do something different. I would really like to get a job in fundraising with a college or university, but I don't have a degree. I know lots of people in the area. What would be your advice to him?
Well, I think Will is sitting on a gold mine. Fundraising is all about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And if Will was my client, what I would be saying to him is, Will, in probably 2 hours, you can, with a pad of paper, list 100 to 200 people that you know on a first-name basis that are the movers and shakers here in town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wouldn't a president or a director of development like to have access to those individuals?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you could pick up the phone and call them and meet with them and share with them your passion for raising funds for this college or that university.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that Rolodex is a huge asset, and that's the way I would go forward on this.
I agree with you.
Any other thoughts on that?
Oh yes, I'm smiling right here now because I had a client not long ago who decided that he wanted to change industries, and he decided he wanted to go into banking and develop, you know, be a person who developed business for the bank, and he had no background in banking. And he went and talked to a local bank, you know, not a big one, but a local bank, and they said to him, well, you don't have any specific background in banking, you know, why should we hire you? And he said, well, because I've been the business development person for an organization here, and I have a Rolodex of 3,000 companies in this part of town. So, you know, day one, he can start developing business.
There you go. Yeah. And it's all about, I'm calling someone I already know. They're familiar with me. They
mm-hmm.
will see me. It's not like I'm making 15 calls and maybe getting one appointment. That's phenomenal. One thing we did not mention about Will, he's making a conjecture that he would like to get a job in fundraising.
Uh-huh.
I am not assuming that he really knows the ins and outs of fundraising. Mm-hmm. So step one, Will needs to meet with someone who is fundraising at a college university, learn that there are three, maybe four different tiers, levels of development or fundraising, and identify what level he feels most comfortable with. And he might even sort of sample, try to reason with that person. And does my background sound reasonable to you? I think it sounds very reasonable. That just gets a little self-esteem, a little self-confidence going there and so on. But to me, this is a no-brainer. This is a surefire. But Will only has one shot per campus, and I doubt there's more than five campuses in his locale. So Will's got to be very careful on how he prepares for the meeting with the president or the director of development.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got something totally different for you now, John. This is Jonathan in Beaverton. I'm getting married and want to work as a teacher internationally. Do I need a teaching certificate? I have a bachelor's degree, but not a teaching degree. Now, I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to jump in for just a moment, because when I was growing up, my father was in the Air Force, and we lived, I don't think I've even told you this, in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, my.
Yes. So teachers were brought in, you know, because it's just a really small group of families and a small group of students. So they did bring teachers in to teach the American students who were there. But I'm pretty sure that they did have to have to be certified teachers. What do you, mm-hmm. what's your opinion here?
Well, yes. It depends really, Linda, on the school. It just turns out I do have some experience in this.
Mm-hmm.
It also depends on the subject matter. Now, you do need a bachelor's degree. But there are, for example, Korea is very, very, South Korea is very, very interested in hiring Americans that can, quote, speak English with an American accent to teach their students how to speak English. So English as a second language is huge. You do not need a teaching certificate. Now, once you have a contractual arrangement there, it's very likely that some other subjects or topics can be added. So you've got a full-time job. But there's active recruitment for that. We'll pick up more after the break.
We're taking a short 2-minute break at the final quarter of our show to ask John Bradley about the wisdom of pursuing an advanced degree as a strategic step to a better job. John, in our last break, you left us hanging with the statement that we could know the right career for sure, for sure. Those were your very words, that we could know if a future career direction is right and worth any investment of more education.
Right, Evan. Those were my very words. You can know the right career for sure, for sure.
Okay, so how does one know?
Well, let's think about house hunting. You are meeting with a realtor and asking that person to help you find the ideal home that has, say, 3 bedrooms, a good neighborhood, and so on. The realtor does a computer search and finds 5 houses for sale which fit your preferences.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
Well, here you have the pictures, and on the computer you can take a virtual tour of each house. Are you ready to make a decision to buy that one?
Well, no, I'm not ready. Virtual reality is good for a start, but I need something more tangible. I mean, I want to see the house. I want to walk in the rooms, look at the backyard.
You mean you want to walk through the house before you buy it, right?
Right.
Well, that is the same approach to selecting your ideal career. You want to meet the person who has your job.
You mean meet face-to-face?
Yes, face-to-face at the job site, not over coffee. To make a confident decision, you need to see, feel, touch, taste, hear, smell, talk, and finally dream. Then you will know for sure, for sure.
So where are you going to find that person? I don't know all the people employed out there in 50 states.
Well, Evan, because this step of career validation is so important, our mid-career advancement services provide that link for our clients to find that person in their city who represents each recommended career.
So the hopeful career seeker can know for sure, for sure.
Yes, he and she can know for sure, for sure.
Well, John, this has been a most interesting journey.
Thanks, Evan.
I want to encourage any of you who are feeling the stress of a dead-end job to go to our website, www.idacgroup.com, and make contact with one of our preferred counselors. Each of these seasoned men and women are professionals at helping you discover your wiring. You will see the reference, Preferred Counselors, at the top of our toolbar. John, we still have the last quarter of your show. Let's return.
Let's do it.
If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. And now, John, let's return to the final quarter of our show.
We're back to our Job Seeker broadcast, and we're at that special time where we're answering questions that we've received regarding the how-tos and descriptions of current situations and roadblocks. And my special guest to help me answer these questions is Linda Baugh from Scottsdale, Arizona. Linda's one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. And you can see Linda's picture and bio on our website. Linda, we were just trying to give some help to this job seeker situation where Jonathan is getting married and he wants to teach overseas. And I really think it boils down to, is Jonathan seeking a certified school that does have certified teachers, or is it a program or process? And since he does not have a teaching degree, there are many, many places that Jonathan can go where he can, quote, teach with his current bachelor's degree. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact that South Korea actively recruits Americans, and they'll interview them in the United States and hire them, and I think it's a two-year deal. And there are even some places that will give you a master's degree once you enroll in their teaching program overseas. So there's a huge demand for this, should not have any problem.
Well, John, we've got the other side of the coin to look at. Coulter in Wyoming says, I just returned from working in Honduras as a school teacher. I don't want to do this anymore. I would like to get hired in some type of carpentry work, but I'm not finding any jobs here for carpenters. What's our advice for Coulter?
Yes. Well, you and I know that the easiest thing in getting hired is to have direct related experience. The position you are wanting to pursue is something similar to what you've done, because the employer wants to lower the risk in considering you as a candidate. Mm-hmm. And the employer is always going to be partial. Oh, you work for Adidas, and you were in retail sales. Well, we have a retail outlet here for Nike, and I can see how your past experience applies here. Well, that's a quote shoe in. but you got it. I see. In Coulter's case, the first thing Coulter is going to have to he's got to have to prepare a story. Why did you go to Honduras? What happened in Honduras, and you've now come back and you don't want to teach anymore? How does that employer know that Coulter isn't isn't just, you know, maybe on furlough type thing and wanting to make a little money so you can go back to Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a clear explanation
mm-hmm.
as to how the pursuit of carpentry or the trades or construction, how does that fit into Coulter's big life picture? So that's hurdle number one that Coulter has
mm-hmm.
to assume. The second thing, and you and I talked about this earlier in the broadcast, Coulter's success in getting hired is not looking for posted vacancies. He already says there aren't many jobs out here.
Mm-hmm.
So Coulter has to find his network of acquaintances, colleagues, use LinkedIn to people that know people, and begin talking to individuals in the trades, in construction, in building exhibit booths, home remodeling, the whole range of all the expertise that Coulter has. That's how Coulter is going to find a job. We know that 95% of people job hunt by looking at posted vacancies. So if Coulter
uh-huh.
chooses to begin networking with acquaintances and colleagues asking for opportunities that are not posted, he's only competing with 5% of the
uh-huh.
of the job hunters out there. So that would be my voice to Coulter in Wyoming.
Well, we've got some other... No one is sending us any questions that are easy, John. They're important, you know, because this is about, you know, people's lives. So it is very, very important. So here's another one from Robert right there in Oregon where you are. I'm a third-year college student. I took a year off school to do an internship, which did not work out well. I'm interested in government service in public health. How do I get hired?
Okay, you're right. This is a tricky one. Well, let's just assume this, that Robert's attempt at the internship was in government service public health. So, you know, he the last one didn't work out, and that is what he was pursuing. Now, let me just say quickly, though, that my hat's off to Robert. He did enter the right race. This is the way to get in with the government. Way back in the 70s, the government totally transformed their hiring process, and that is they began using interns. They established formal internship programs. They would go recruit sophomores and juniors at certain campuses that had certain degrees, and that's where they got their park rangers, and that's where they got their deputy officers for this, and on. Some of those jobs, they're like, oh, I wish I could. How did you get this job?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do an internship, it's over. You're just not going to get in, even though they
mm-hmm.
accept applications.
Mm-hmm.
So... Robert did the right thing, and what
mm-hmm.
Robert needs to do is get going on another internship in another department. Sorry, the first one didn't work out, but that
mm-hmm.
is no reason to give up. If you
mm-hmm.
If you are driving and somehow you got into an accident, don't turn in your driver's license and now start taking the bus. You know, you need to recover from the accident and get back into driving again.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my, just quickly, my advice to Robert. What are you thinking, Linda?
Well, I'm thinking that, and we don't really know where that internship was, but he certainly could approach government service public health people and see about getting into another internship, because you're right, that's exactly how people get their foot in the door. And that same thing, lots of the men that I work with, I'll just say, John, a lot of the men that I work with, they want to work with a major league team, you know, or they want to work in something to do with sports. And what I've observed over the years is there's two ways you get into those jobs. One, you're related to you know, Jerry Colangelo or Bill Bidwell or someone like
right.
that, or you get in with an internship.
Yes, absolutely.
That's how it works.
Yep.
We have one last question. Do we have time, John?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, again, nothing easy here. Jake in Santa Barbara. I've been doing short-term survival jobs. I really want to get into radio or television as a talk show host. Can you help?
Well, interesting on this question. This is something I've had experience in, and I do recall helping a client do exactly this. Now, the client I had was a youth minister. He worked in a church assisting youth, and I guess he'd gotten old enough that he was getting tired, staying up all night on the all-nighters and dealing with that age group, and he wanted to be a talk show host. Well, the thing that Jake needs to understand is that there are many colleges and universities that have their own radio programs, their own radio stations. They own the station, and they do that their own programming and so on. So a back door to getting experience with the radio station is enrolling as a communication student, two-unit course, and as part of being a student in that course, you just walk across campus and get involved in the campus station. Now, you're going to have to find a list of campuses that do have their own station. And California certainly has a good number of campuses that have that. The next thing I would do is I would try to gain the network of acquaintances and alumni of faculty that teach in this area. And we were talking earlier with Robert and his internship. Same thing here. Internships are a very, very common part of media, both television and radio. And there's nothing better than experience. So Jake just has to get some experience. I think we're out of time, Linda. Thank you. Thank you for today's broadcast.
And so that concludes our Job Seeker broadcast for this week. Our host has been job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John is president and founder of the IDAC Group. He's been helping mid-career men and women find their sweet spot since 1973. John has authored 4 career advancement books. He led the development team for the premier IDAC Career Match instrument, which has assisted over 30,000 career seekers nationwide. John has personally trained over 600 counselors, college professors, and consultants in career advancement and job search. And he's personally selected 12 of these 600 whom he highlights on his website. These men and women are independent practitioners whom John has personally trained. They are not employees nor affiliated with the IDAC Group, and they've not been paid any fee to be featured. They are good, honest professionals who have gained John's approval over many years of successful practice. I'm Evan Newman, and I invite you to join us next week at this same time for our next live broadcast. Say, do you know someone who is frustrated in their job search? Why not send them a tweet, email, or a Facebook note about our free broadcast? Maybe your friend can learn something which will land them that next job. We invite you to participate in our broadcasts by sending your job search questions during our live broadcast. Those questions received during the live broadcast will receive John's priority attention. Thanks for listening. Best wishes, and may God bless you in your job search.